let's begin with the reading that is the basis of our summer theme. This is from Exodus chapter 3. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Moses led Jethro's flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Holy One appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush. Moses looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Holy One saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to Moses out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." God said further, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac and Rebekah, and the God of Jacob and Leah and Rachel." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Holy One said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings." That is our summer theme text, and we are gathering tonight to talk about the summer theme, maybe a little bit in general, also specific to worship, specific to a theme song. Emily Van Clay has also written a Vespers that wouldn't be our summer theme Vespers, but might be a Vespers that we would repeat weekly as a social justice Vespers or a reconciliation Vespers, and also to the summer theme art that will be in our worship space. And we thought we'd start with each one of us just kind of saying kind of where what we've heard so far in these kinds of conversations, and therefore where we're sitting right now, and then sort of open it up. I've heard a lot of talk about taking off our shoes in worship, having a regular washing of the feet, if not in the summer theme Vespers in particular, have it kind of an additional option, a healing service maybe, like we do with Compline on Thursday nights. This could be another later evening thing that is available to people. Having worship outside at least once a week during the summer theme Vespers, and really utilizing the ground as a part of the worship time. And I have wanted to incorporate dance into the summer theme Vespers because I see it fitting real well with this action. The verse is so full of action, turning aside, looking and hearing, and taking off your shoes and standing on that holy ground. And it seems to speak of dance or movement to me. I'm also interested in not just having actual dancers do a dance, but encouraging the congregation, the assembled people, to have a call and response kind of litany in which movement would be encouraged, so that the leader would speak the leader's line and show a movement, and then as the congregation feeds back their response, that same movement is a part of their response, just so people kind of get used to moving. And that's about it. We've talked a little bit about whether or not this would be a preaching service or not. And if it was, who would be the people invited and to preach? And if it wasn't, what else would we incorporate into that worship time? And as a result of several conversations, we've come up with kind of a rough outline of a weekly rhythm in which Sunday would be communion, preaching service, pretty much like normal. Monday has potential for being a global awareness, talking about the holy ground around the world. And we apparently have a book in our library, I haven't seen it yet, but that has different worship ideas from different parts of the world, so we could focus on a different country or different region. And if a staff member or a visitor has been there, we would ask those people to kind of take leadership of that worship time. So we do Malaysia, and we have a prayer that is common to Malaysian Christian worship, or we do a song, or both, you know, whatever this resource offers, several different options. So that would be Monday night, potentially. These are just things that have come up. Tuesday night would be our musical vespers, led by the guest musician. And Wednesday would be the theme vespers. Thursday would be our social global our social justice reconciliation vespers, predominantly Emily Van Clay's service, probably, with options for other things if somebody has a creative idea. Prayer on the Cross on Friday, and then Saturday would be a Sun Vespers 86, or Mountain Vespers, or 96, or again, if somebody else wants to write one.
2006 is coming.
2006 is that way. So that's kind of a rough outline. And I don't know if there's more that I need to say.
Okay. Is it me?
Yeah. Sure.
So,
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Last year when we did we did it through various occupations. That's how we meandered through Monday night.
Vocations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because the summer before that we did different countries also.
We did the global thing.
Yeah,
that's my only concern.
Should I bring in last night now, or just go to music?
Whatever you want.
I'm thinking last night, or yesterday afternoon, the discussion about the wall kind of worked into talking about summer stuff and themes and worship. And just wanted to bring those to tonight's discussion as well, and then move into some other talk about music, perhaps. Obviously, there's talk about burning bushes, and one of the ideas that came out yesterday, there wasn't consensus that we do this, but just one idea would be to have some of the voices from the wall hanging from a bush that become a starting point for conversation. I think you suggested this, Janet. And it would be close to the Ark, which is our conversation space. So that it'd be literally hearing voices coming from the bush, and that sparks us to talk with each
sparks
other.
Sparks us.
Yeah, sparks conversation around the village. Bush, clearly in the worship space, and Kristen will probably talk more about that. Also, the image of a table seemed to be real relevant coming out of yesterday's discussion, and seems to be an important piece to carry from the winter into summer. We had the one vespers knocking down the wall and creating a table, just the whole thing of the table to which all are welcome being a central thing of what we've been working with this winter. And so perhaps that would be part of communion every week, is we do something more concrete with the table on Sundays. Other people who were there yesterday, please chime in with stuff that... Yeah, taking the wall and creating an art book out of that. That's kind of out there thing.
You're thinking that as part of worship?
Not so much worship.
Yeah.
I have a question about in what relation were burning bushes talked about in that meeting? Besides just, was it just the hanging of things on them?
Pretty much that.
That was it?
That's what I remember.
We were talking about images that came from the Easter Vigil with the Tree of Life also becoming the burning bush, and that so much of what we've been about is conversation and communication, and that this ark is our central kind of a symbol of gathering place for conversation, and that's the home of the tree of that tree of life, and mm-hmm. So, but that wasn't necessarily worship idea.
The real concrete thing that actually came out of yesterday's discussion was having the Stoles Project. There are Stoles of GLBT pastors who have been taken off their respective rosters in various churches, and it sounds like we might have a good chance of getting those Stoles to display on the wall in the Village Center throughout the summer, with stories and names of people, so that this is a real people mm-hmm. thing and not just an issue of people.
Are those up for borrowing?
Yeah, it's a national
it's a project.
Tour.
There's, yeah, there's a couple of versions. There's an ecumenical, and Lutherans, kind of course, being as parochial as we can be, sometimes have our own, which in our context might actually be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds just really touching.
Yeah.
I just think that would be really powerful.
Yeah. The way it would affect the space, I think, is worth talking about, and what Kristen has in mind already.
Right.
Although I think it is.
I don't think it's any problem at all.
I didn't think you would, but we haven't talked to you, and so do you want to step on you?
No, I think it'd be great.
And had kind of talked about how somehow taking our experience in the winter and moving it into summer in the way that the Iraq mourning the deaths, mm-hmm. it's not the same, obviously. Mm-hmm. But a way to somehow have that come into summer
yes.
worship as well as conversation.
You mean like a repeating of names of persons who had lost their ability
don't know.
To serve or something like that?
That'd be a possibility.
What we talked about
stories
was yes.
on the stalls,
oh.
yeah.
the little individual stories that are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the ideas for those was that they would be on the display board in the back space
yeah.
mm-hmm.
and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it's to draw people in. We also talked about that the worship needs a lot of processing so that it is inviting. Like last year's, I think Iraq thing really invited all kinds of viewpoints safely
mm-hmm.
into it,
mm-hmm.
and then also providing a place for conversation afterwards
mm-hmm.
Through the Pustinia and
mm-hmm.
various folks who were listening years.
I'd like to see, I don't know if this is possible, but I'd really like to see photographs of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we've got a whole bunch of them that we pulled
really?
Together for the last churchwide assembly that we could probably
along
get
with
and
the
bring.
Stoles, like this is the person whose
yeah.
face you need to look into.
Yeah.
And this is the stole that
yeah.
person can't wear anymore.
Yeah, and what's cool about some of the pictures we've got is there's like baptismal pictures, and there's pictures of different phases of people's faith
mm-hmm.
journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, so wanting to engage people in the struggle, I guess, is what we wanted to do. Engage people in struggle around how we do this and how important it is. One of the suggestions, of course, which had a lot of energy too, was to put up our Winter Community Statement, again, on the display board next to the stoles, with a place for people to sign on. Yes, I also commit to this. There was some talk about having an open conversation space, and a lot of concern, I thought, about
mm-hmm.
that being not a safe thing to do, to allow any viewpoint to be openly and publicly expressed, because it could be so hurtful and damaging. And so to allow places for people of different viewpoints to process and talk and dialogue, but in a safe way. And that we haven't talked about how that would happen, but that seems to be one of the things that we want to make sure happens, since this is we're kind of offering this in worship, hopefully in a way that everybody can hit them at some point and not just kind of turn everybody away, but it really draws them in. And then give them a place to do something with that.
Pardon me, but last year's worship, there was no place for people who were for the war.
The other one was.
Where was that?
That's a matter of opinion.
That was, yeah. There, we built it in intentionally to say that, maybe Jane wrote a significant piece of that, but to name, if you are struggling with this, or if this is, you know, we're not voicing your opinion, come and talk to the pastor. There's always somebody available
after the worship service to talk with.
Mm-hmm. But it was just lifted up as a place to go speak. It didn't say, you know,
mm-hmm.
specific
for
dialogue.
No, we didn't have a session on the war.
We had lots of sessions, though, and they often followed that service which intentionally brought up.
In the worship service, forgive me for, but this is how it felt coming in week after week. It felt like we weren't saying one way or the other on the war. We were saying these are the people that have died.
Right.
And I think that was really, really powerful. It didn't say anything other than face this.
There was nothing to disagree with.
Right. There's nothing to disagree with.
Right.
And I think the same thing about the stoles. The stoles. Here's faces. Here's people. Here's the ramifications. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at that.
Right. That's what I meant when it was going to take us process to get to the point of creating a service that there's nothing to really disagree with.
No, right? It's just a presentation of the pain.
Yeah. One of the things some of us have been talking about, and I wanted to talk to Jen about this a little before, but
we'll talk now.
And is that in, I think it was 98 or 99, Erica Jacobs had a session, and I don't know how often it was, but so I would be interested, and Emily and Allison and I were going to try and get with Jake during the Synod Assembly and talk to her about the format, whatever, for that. And the reason I want to talk to you is about, you know, how it interfaces with programming. But my understanding...
She did a session on what it means to be gay and Christian, basically.
Right. But it was, my recollection, it's fairly open to conversation. Yeah. And what I'm thinking is if that's something we want to do anyway, that maybe then there is an avenue for conversation that would still preserve worship as a safe place, that maybe we don't need to do everything right at worship. At worship, it's more of putting a face on things, feeling the pain, and creating an awareness. And the rest, you know, may follow.
One of the other forms of conversation we've talked about out of Hague is forming a PFLAG chapter here. And Hallie Florine thought that'd be great too. So
PFLAGs?
Parents, family, and friends of gays and lesbians.
It's sort of like a support group, which if, again, that's a safe place for people to go and talk who are struggling with their kids' sexuality, their friends, their own, I mean, so that would be something that would support conversation in a safe place. And much like our 12-step meetings, there could be a weekly PFLAG meeting, and it could be either the day after or the evening of or whatever.
I remember when Tim Hansen was doing those kind
of... Tim started that.
And I think that he would be a good person to write as well as talking to Jake. My impression of his sessions was that, you know, here's a gay man inviting conversation from whoever the visitors were. So it was a totally open conversation. He was willing to do that.
And Mark Onstedt did that too.
Yeah, I think that's a really
It's a real skill. They were very
very skilled,
welcoming and opening to that.
Yeah, they were.
And they did it about twice a month, every other week or something like that. And it was kind of rotation, like we've often had on Monday nights, homegrown programming. Expansive language, art, and community, food source, you know, homegrown programming that comes out of this winter community. So,
the other thing we want to do to kind of support is have something like a Lutheran's Concern chapter here. There are so many lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people here right now, and we also know that there will be folks coming in, so that there can be a sanctuary support place for people, not just people who are out, but people who are questioning their sexual orientation. And we want to have that in place before the May Youth Weekends. And I think that for me, if I was going to participate in a Gay 101, which I've done and I'd be happy to do, I'd be glad to know that there was also a support place where I could go and kind of, you know,
vent.
Okay,
I need that now.
Yeah.
I also want to say, you know, this is the experience of the winter community, but I don't feel like our theme Vespers has to be totally this issue.
Oh, no, not at all.
And
yeah, we're not talking about the theme Vespers. Right,
what are we talking about?
Social justice Vespers.
On Monday night? Is that what we're
talking about? I thought we were here to talk about the theme Vespers.
As I understand it, it was just the things that came out of Hague.
Yeah, we're talking about Hague, but then that also how what we've been through with this particular issue. You know, this is coming from our experiences.
I just thought we were talking about theme Vespers.
Well, I thought the connection happened in some bush that was going to hang out there.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I think there's a question of whether we create a ritual, something like the Iraq ritual, that does actually just talk about what the community.
I think, you know, I was just trying to bring stuff that we bring to this process, not saying where it goes in the summer at all. But I think Emily and I have talked about that the Thursday Just Soldier Justice Vespers might well be Emily Van Clay's Reconciliation Vespers, which isn't specifically any one quote-unquote issue, but it does certainly lend itself to bringing our experience to that and sharing it through that, but not in any kind of exclusive way, that this is what the summer is all about. All the time, kind of thing.
Could it be periodically, maybe once a month, that that was one of the issues that came and was used within that service? I haven't seen the service, but that maybe not every single Thursday, but like once a
month. If it's a social justice, if it's a, you want to have other social justice
issues involved as well, but the not let that
happen. Other thing I wanted to mention before we got into that. That we don't want to compartmentalize this either, that this is the justice issue. But rather that Eucharist, this is about Eucharist. And so this will play into the table on Sundays, and it'll kind of weave into the week, and it isn't going to be like we're going to hit them with once a month. We hope this is one of the many pieces, but an important piece, that we bring to our entire summer experience. And so it's the Ark, it's the DC, it's the whole village, and it doesn't take over the village, but it becomes certainly reflects how important it has been and how important it is for our church and our country at this time, along with global warming, of course, and everything else. But I mean, it's
I think,
so. It's just we haven't mentioned the theme yet, which is take off your shoes.
We did. We read this text.
But yeah, that's certainly.
But if you want to say, I just want to talk about it.
Go ahead. I just haven't heard it talked about at all, and so I just hope we're
this
also.
This is tangential, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming.
Tangential.
It's what we're bringing to the discussion. Maybe I'll move into the song. Would that be helpful to kind of bring us down to something concrete?
I can't hear your.
Oh, yeah, okay, block past the song.
I'm just going to say, I think it's related to the theme, and I heard the cries of the people, and I think this particular and all social justice issues are a matter of. Again, experiencing pain or awareness of it. So I think there is a relationship of our winter experience, but all the social issues.
I see the words take off your shoes as an entry point for people. And the burning bush symbolizes the passion and the God's passion for God's people and creation and for justice and this holy ground that this happens on. So you take off your shoes because there's something really important happening. You're standing on holy ground.
I tried to give each one of you a piece of paper because I would love to have like concrete Scribble? Suggestions for words and stuff from each of you. So or for each of you, if you feel so moved. So
get pencils.
Here are some pencils.
Give us pencils and we'll actually write something. That's what he wants.
This is totally a sketch. I showed Emily and Justin the sketch a couple weeks ago that was rougher than this. But frankly, I haven't had a whole lot of time to put into this. So this is very much kind of throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks. And what I'm working with or playing with, or both and, is very much the theme of take off your shoes. Taking off your shoes and taking a stand is kind of the tagline at the bottom that that's probably the one piece that I don't know if I'm going to change. But everything else is up for discussion. Take off your shoes, take a stand on holy ground. To me, that brings together what I feel like we as a community want to say, or certainly what I want to say out of our experience, in relation to the theme. And it's not the only way to talk about taking off your shoes, but it's the way that I feel really moved to do in the song. So the song is something that I guess I'm trying to provoke some things, perhaps. I want to invite everyone into it, but I want to challenge. That's just my style, is to more challenge, hopefully in an open way that engages people. But it's, if, you know, if you're talking about the spectrum of advocacy and conversation, I'm probably more trying to move us in the direction of advocacy without saying that conversation isn't also part of the whole picture. I don't know if that's a helpful framework for thinking about this. So the end of where this comes in is kind of what I'm getting to. I start with kind of, I've decided the first paragraph is kind of like a creedal statement also. It's like, this is what we believe. All people are holy. And I don't know about the second line, where there's no exceptions or everyone, including you. That was just kind of ideas.
Three options.
And there's probably better ones out there. Each person is a gift from God, have no misconceptions, just because it rhymes. The second verse is about all ground being holy. Every space is sacred. You know, it's not just the village, it's not just where the burning bush is, it's every place. We have to look at the entire earth, the entire creation, as sacred.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm not hearing that, seeing that.
All ground is holy.
This is three verses
going kind of side by side.
Okay.
Yeah. And the third is all time is holy. Thinking in threes, I guess trying to get into this, you know, let's seize the moment, let's live the day, let's take these convictions of ours and do something with them now, not just kind of believe them and say them and that's that. So that's kind of the movement of the song, is from all people being holy, all ground is holy, all time is holy. This next part is kind of a bridge. From out of the fire, love hears the people or the earth or the moment crying. That was the suggestion from last time, that's where it starts, is God hears in the story. God hears the voice of the people in bondage crying out, and that's where it starts. And so we need to look into that fire or listen to the voice coming from that fire or whatever the image is that we want to play with there, and hear that voice then speaking to us, calling us to liberate the people, liberate creation, liberate time. And to be liberated, so it's not, you know, it's a two-way thing, certainly. And I just came up with these right before supper, but from the need to say who's in and who's out. You know, I couldn't figure out what we're needed to be liberated from, and there's a lot of things, but that's one of them. The second one, from the need to use every piece of land, not even just use up, but just to use it, make it useful. From the need to play it safe all the time. Those are just kind of random thoughts of mine. I do mark this up while you can. Initial feedback before I give you some musical?
Well, I would agree with you about the last two lines.
Keep them?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like them.
Yeah. And I also wrote on this for you that we should send this to Dorothy and Paul and Paul and Christian and David and Karen.
You could take it.
Dorothy, yeah. And these other ones, the other summer teaching staff.
Anything else? Can I hear it?
Yeah.
I don't know how well I'll sing it, but.
I'm taking a tape of it.
A little more upbeat than last year.
Shin brought up a long time ago about the way I've traditionally had traditionally done the the welcome, the call to the table, the welcome to the table, regardless of is what we had, the language we'd use. And that's sort of the exception, you know, that exceptional language instead of inclusive of all people. So.
Including is not a great word in music, but.
Right, it's not a good singing word.
Misconception's better.
Well, no.
I thought misconceptions was hard to say. I didn't almost hear the whole misconceptions.
Yeah, I only heard misconceptions.
There wasn't a beat for miss or something. It sounded like conceptions.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
I know it is, but I just thought if you could comment.
I have to say, no problem with
you. You is easy to rhyme.
What's that?
You is easy to rhyme.
You would be easy to rhyme, yeah.
Include.
Yeah.
It doesn't have enough syllables right now, but I'll work on that.
I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I like the whole thing.
I like the crying to you, calling to you, to crying to you, calling to, and that harkens back to last year's theme, which is kind of the link that I have felt
building
really good about in this. So, I mean, a lot of people won't catch that, but
a lot of people
I
will.
I really
they're all intuitive.
Going beyond the human to the creation and also to time. I really like that. We tend to get people centric.
Do you?
The last verse, from the need to play it safe all the time. I'm not sure I understand what you're trying to say.
What does it mean to you?
I think you're trying to push people out of the envelope or out of the box.
I think so.
I like that line.
But the first time I read it, I wasn't sure if that was clear. The need to play it safe all the time.
Maybe another way to say it differently would be somehow using the word risk, using time to risk what needs to be done or something. Instead of be liberated from, maybe be liberated to.
To risk?
Well, I'm not sure how that would work. Yeah, instead of save yourself from the need to play it safe, well, what do you do instead? Why are you not playing safe? Well, there's reasons to risk. It's part of the work that needs to be done.
To try something new this time, if you want to use the word time in there.
Yeah, well, it's kind of figured out.
No,
go ahead. Well, I'm glad you're taking it to Dorothy because she's a good wordsmith person, too. Do you have the play positioned strategically to people, ground, time? Is there a strategy here?
I wouldn't put it, this is just for this purpose tonight, just so you can kind of see.
I mean, is there a progression that you're thinking of? I'm not thinking of anything better, I just wondered if you had.
What was it thinking?
It's 1, 2, 3 verses, that's all I'm thinking. what are you trying to get at?
Why did you start with people and then go to creation and then
go to
time?
Go to time.
Why start with people?
Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, and then ground, and then time.
People is just the first thing that came to me. Which seem to be the most relevant, most actually accessible.
People doing the standing is most accessible.
And time seemed to be kind of the place to end with now is the time.
Well, time is more abstract, so I think
it is.
Okay.
And the text
starts getting
the
holy stuff down before you apply it to time is maybe a good idea.
People coming to the holy ground.
What I would say, the ground was created first.
Are you suggesting something, Jen, with that?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just I'm just interested in why if there was a strategy.
I hadn't thought of it a lot, it just seemed like the right thing to do.
In terms of kind of
I trust
like
that.
Eucharistic movement, I like time at the end because it reminds me of kind of the sending forth.
It's
that's the point.
It's more cosmic too.
Right.
I think you're moving from the very familiar to the very cosmic.
But you're right, you have to be careful not getting too abstract with that. So if there's a way to do that, last time I think I had all places are holy, which is less concrete than all ground is holy.
Yeah.
Is our holy, whoops.
All ground is from the text.
Yeah.
All time is holy, I had each moment is holy.
I like the moment word. That's
maybe moment is better.
I like the moment.
Yeah.
Each moment is a gift.
The trouble is, I use it twice.
Yeah, you use it too many times. You've used it three times in that verse, actually.
Right, because there's just not, if there's another concrete word for time, I don't know.
I like time.
I like
Let's
time.
Let's do it. You know, time, we think of time as a watch, that's accessible, you know, against our...
And maybe you use the word sacred would kind of ring some bells for people?
But, you know, we talked about Kairos time and...
Right.
Maybe not.
Kairos.
I like the repetition of the verses.
Yeah.
It's all the verses.
Right.
I think I make sure to word, but keep moment in there somewhere.
Definitely, moments are both, moments are both. I could use both holy and sacred in each verse, but... So anyways, feel free to give me whatever you got in person or on paper. Either conceptually, it doesn't have to rhyme, or if you have a turn of phrase that's helpful, that's great, but you really don't need a word system for this for me. I'll do that myself.
Can we hear it again? Would you mind singing another verse? Because I think it'd be easier for me to... I don't have a sense of how it sounds.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll do, which one should I do, the last one?
Yeah, sure.
The trouble is, I like to play it safe more than I like to use every piece of land, so but
yeah.
I can't switch them. So.
I like the need to use every piece of land. That speaks to
this.
It sure is timely.
Yeah, this on the second verse.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
From an experience on the boat, somebody saying, you know, oh, look at all that ground over, like, looking on the other side of the lake as we were driving by, and it's totally undeveloped, and you know, like, what a waste that is. And I was like,
yeah.
What? So,
are you a developer?
I think there are a lot of people who,
yeah.
If it's undeveloped land, it's
right.
Wasted land.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really...
Or it's lumber that's not being used.
Right.
You, as you sang it, you said calling to you.
I didn't mean that. I
meant
crying
to you, because
okay.
I like crying.
I do too. Last time I had speaking to you, and crying made it work. So.
Yeah.
So crying
golly, first thing,
Scott.
Wow, how do you do it?
Yeah, I thought you were busy all last week.
Yeah, right. You
I
just
actually
did all this,
this
Holy Week stuff.
You
I
see
started
him heading
back
out of the village
January,
working this
before we really got rolling this winter. So it's been fantastic to kind of have this in the back of my mind and try to keep listening and stuff.
Wow, great.
Kristen?
Nothing.
Art?
Yeah. I'm still thinking of burning bush, and it keeps kind of developing. I have my own. I haven't heard a lot of other visual ideas, and so I'm still looking for visual ideas, but I really want to get going.
Yeah.
And so what I'd like to do is kind of let you into where my mind is at this point in time. I've talked with Emily about doing something right in the middle above the altar and having it three-dimensional. I really liked working three-dimensional with the banners here. I mean, they're just flat banners, but they were in the round.
Right.
And I also really liked the light with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine the table underneath and how it all connects.
Mm-hmm.
This burning bush that's that's got little green leaves on it still, and maybe even some roots, I don't know, and the altar table right underneath. And something just occurred to me, actually just since Easter, and then was reinforced tonight, looking at these white sheets. And I don't know how this fits in. Maybe you can help me and see if this rings a bell with you. You know, talking about social justice in that poem tonight, and talking about our American culture and all that, and then thinking about Christ, who died for taking a stand for the healing of the people. And then I saw these as the wrapping of the body that had been left behind when Christ rose. And I don't know if that can be incorporated somehow, that there's a sense of resurrection. Or maybe that's just complicating the image. It might just be a very simple image of a bush with green leaves and then layers of flames going up like this above the altar. I also have thought, and I'd like some feedback on, the text says that an angel appeared in the burning bush. And I don't know if the angel spoke with the voice of God, but the angel's there. And whether to have a representation of some animation of an angel, or I don't want to do God, but you know, some place that the voice is coming from that people could see. So does that stir up any ideas or
things?
Yeah.
But one thing is, I wonder if there's something to incorporate with, you know, how the difficulty we had of figuring out how to drape this the other day. The draping.
Draping might
work. Not just straight banners. Mm-hmm. The other is, take a look at the front of Eric Law's book.
Eric Law, what book
is
that?
The Bushes Blazing But Not Consumed. There's copies of
it. It's in a bookstore.
Okay.
And it's got some of that imagery on it that I just thought, when I first saw it, there's our theme art. And then I was kind of taken with that one banner that you did, I think it was over here, where the words came out and spilled down. Mm-hmm. I'm not taken so much with a human-like figure.
The words coming
out. But the words.
Coming in.
Words coming out.
Take off your shoes, those words.
Yeah, or maybe other words. That, I mean, even, you know, you had those words coming down and becoming new
seeds.
Life.
Yeah.
So maybe that happens rather than a figure, but the voice is words. And maybe it's not just take off your shoes, maybe it's...
I've seen the impression.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have the text that I think we're going to use is, I have observed, I have heard, I have indeed, I know their sufferings. And maybe those are the words, because those are words that we will, in the litany, so far as I have it written right
for
now.
For the theme one?
Yeah, for the theme Vespers. It'll be, turn aside and see, we turn aside and see a great sight. God calls us by name. And then a couple more lines. And then, again, saying, turn aside and see what God sees. Or, no one can look at the face of God, but we see God's face in those who cry for justice. The options to those two lines are, turn aside and see what God sees. We observe the misery of God's people everywhere. Hear the cries of those oppressed, those afflicted. We hear and we come to know their sufferings.
Is that the Exodus?
That's
the Exodus?
Right off of the text, yeah. Okay. So those are words that I'm playing with right now in the litany that might...
I'm a little, always a little bit hesitant to put words in any artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But
because I think that, I mean, this idea of take off your shoes and the burning bush, I mean, didn't Dorothy kind of play with it out of sort of a more generic, bigger idea than the specifics of those words? I mean, because she was talking about us reflecting on work and on the environment and holiness, and it kind of comes out of sacred time, holy ground, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
That is not in those biblical words. So it feels like... The spirit that brought that theme is the image more than the words that image is embedded in.
What is important in the image for me is the idea that we can be filled with passion by God mm-hmm. to action mm-hmm. and not be consumed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what my art would kind of, that's where I'm headed mm-hmm. at this point.
I love the idea of under the altar, and then the rest of the week, when if the altar's not there, that it's still there.
Oh, yeah. For prayer on the cross, that'd
yeah.
be great.
Oh, yeah. And one of the thoughts I had about the altar and the connection to the building, the wall, was to use the flattened altar mm-hmm. and allow people to build it.
Yeah,
I think that'd be cool.
We've talked about that.
To sure. Using the,
the flattened altar.
To use
and
it
allow, in Eucharist.
In Eucharist.
And that it be
and we build it
built.
Each week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we have to get some people trained to build it.
It's heavy, too.
And it's
heavy.
Part of the worship itself. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Building,
part,
like, oh, I like that.
Or the,
gathering.
And
during the gathering.
Well, you start with confession, and you start with the wall
that's
of brokenness.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Yes.
Yeah, this pile of stuff in the middle.
Cool.
That looks like a wall or something.
Well, think about building, well, here's another jump, maybe, but you're, think about building a fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if that connects or not. I mean, you build a fire by placing wood on mm-hmm. top of it, and then mm-hmm. there's a flame. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe the altar
is the kindling.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's kind of far-fetched.
I don't know. Israelites burned their altars.
Yeah.
You wanted to tickle the nostrils of God.
The image of fire is an interesting one to me. Because in the context of gays burn in hell, that's
oh
a flame image.
Well,
and then we have the burning bush.
You know what a fag it is?
Right.
It's kindling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the
yeah.
imagery
it's
is, wow,
working.
It's really
yeah.
got
yeah.
some double meanings.
And
to
that
Roman
gay
cigarette,
people were used to start fires.
Another layer of this, which I think it would be worth bringing up again, because we've used fire as an image over time.
I'm thinking of this.
Yeah, is will if the valley is actually full of smoke from forest fires,
mm-hmm.
will it help or hinder to have an image of fire?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you have to have the green, the growing that
yeah.
comes up out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had that also
yes.
with the other fire.
Yes.
That I wonder if it'd be worth thinking about playing with different images of, you know, these broken pieces, these faggots, if you want to call it that, the sticks, becoming a table and becoming a campfire, you know, a different kind of
yeah.
fire than you had before. Because a campfire is a much safer image, I think, in our context now these days,
mm-hmm.
than a forest fire.
Or a
camp,
you know,
camp stove.
We may want to regularly, this just popped into my head, if fire safety allows it, offer a conversation around a fire.
Mm-hmm.
The summer.
Nice
nice.
There'd be a way to do it.
We
nice.
Probably
yeah.
could do it for the first half of the summer. And then
for
yeah.
as much as we
for
can.
As much as we can.
We have weekly campfires for conversation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's just the softness
yeah.
in the in
yeah.
the dark.
A little bit.
Yeah. And a nicer
here?
Fire.
Mm-hmm. Can we do that in the amphitheater place?
Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Narnia.
Narnia.
Or Narnia.
Narnia. Or down.
Yeah. Just a
cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw in that I've got the initial artwork, if you haven't seen it, that Garrett Sergei has thrown out four t-shirts, and I didn't want to respond to him until we had talked about where we were going more with this. And I don't know if you've had a chance.
Yeah,
if you haven't had a chance, please look at it.
Okay.
Yeah, can you pass it around?
I had it down on the table.
The book.
Maybe you should show them the book. The first two are the first two with the most little people's signatures on them as far as preferences, but I wanted people to comment and put your John Henry if you like something you see.
We could make some movements.
Needed to fit what we end up with in terms of direction, not like a glove, but
just for future reference, would it be possible to have that artist in on your discussions in some way?
We have at most years,
okay.
But that's, I'm kind of surprised that there hasn't been any correspondence.
There has been. Molly has told me what the discussions with this group have been, and I've funneled that to him. For example, he first started off with an idea of having all these dirty tennis shoes in a pile. You know, some kind of really take off your shoes and kind of funny, humorous, And I wrote him back and said, Kristen's talking about the burning bush. Get a different picture.
Yeah, it would have been nice to correspond directly.
Well, this is not too late by any means. He's
sometimes he and Kristen are like synchronistic and they come up with something real similar.
Yeah, I think, in fact, if you want to, before I even write him back with reactions to this, go see where he's at and go for it. We've got everything else ready for summer but this. This is all we have on the plate, and he's really quick, so there's plenty of time to talk.
I find his stuff usually is too busy for me.
Interestingly, Janet, when I picked out the most simplistic of the designs he's got, and not a single other villager put their initials by the ones I thought were clean. They picked the busier. I mean, you can see some of the places where people initialed the ones they liked, and they were way busier than my case. So,
I heard a number of people say they didn't like any of them, and there was no place to put that.
Okay. Well, that's actually a reasonable. I mean,
that's what I didn't say.
If you have a way to constructively direct him.
They look like they're two different people in
It's an impossible position. Well, and you know what I thought about this one? I hate to say, but if we choose this one, I will always think that this is a person standing here, a guy who just happens to be taking a tinkle and it's trickling down between his feet. That's what it looks like to me.
But I understand how this.
And I can guarantee I will not be the only person who sees
this,
that.
But this foot is, looks too distorted.
Like
I mean,
people
are thinking
the feet wizard.
What do you see in this one?
But I think, yeah.
You see a guy on a Harley.
The feet don't look right.
Yeah,
I don't like the feet. I can correspond with him on this about some images that I see that are very similar, but I have a different way of playing
it out. Take me out of the I've got to be friends with him driver's seat if you did, because I work with him on so many other projects that I need to have.
Maybe we're good friends. I mean,
okay,
great. Maybe you could send him if you can photocopy the cover of that Eric Law book too.
Okay.
See what you think of it.
Sure.
I know you didn't do the banners that were up here for summer, but. Do you have thoughts about how that's going to play in at all to summer stuff?
No, I don't really. Although if they could easily be connected. I mean, for those who don't know, I've entitled them Learning to Speak. And it's about taking a stand, you know, how you find your voice. So, yeah, I don't have any thoughts. I don't know how they would go.
One other thing, just on this, I sent him artwork and told him, replicate this.
Oh.
He is capable of doing exactly what we told him.
Oh, I know. Did you see? This is really nice, the colors. Mm-hmm. And
is
we can't copy it, but we can.
No, but the idea of it.
Yeah. I think a beautifully burning bush that's alive like this. And the colors that I've chosen here are really nice. Instead of a stick, you know, this looks. This is what bothers me about all of these is that this is not
sticks.
This is
not
full of grace. It's not alive. It's jarring.
Yeah.
That too is jarring.
Mm-hmm. Remember that year we had the theme? I think it was water wash, spirit born.
Yeah.
That T-shirt.
Yeah,
all
that was John Marcus did.
Yeah, I like that.
This has some
taken
flowing in it too.
So who created the shirt that year?
John Marcus did the artwork.
Yes.
And then Gary made the shirt.
Yeah.
Last several years.
Mark Shearer did them for a number of years up at Stehekin.
Okay.
Too, and I like his work.
Politely, without saying what's wrong with what he's done, hand him exactly what you want it to look like and he can reproduce it as best as possible.
What I'll probably do is send him the images that I'm going to be working
there you
with.
Go.
And then he can take off from that.
If it's going to have a three-dimensional feel, you may have to give that to him. You know what I'm saying?
3D shirt, that'd be cool.
What's that?
No, I mean, but to where, to the drawing, to have it feel.
It'll be flat, it'll be a flat inch.
But it'll, but the depth is, I haven't seen him do anything with any depth. And the way he presents stuff is all kind of.
Flat. I think that's his colors.
It's a t-shirt.
Is that not a good thing?
No, I mean, like, for example, your people here are in rows in this banner. It's flat, but it appears to have depth.
Yeah.
He doesn't draw like that.
Right.
That's my point.
He likes to work flat.
But that he can do that kind of an image if you give it to him. He doesn't seem to create it. Anyway, just whatever you give him, he can reproduce. And I think that it would help me if somebody else did that interchange with him.
Kristen's the right one.
Sure.
I think everybody's done great work. I mean, I didn't realize we were this far along. It's great.
The one thing I was going to feedback, Emily, was turn aside. I haven't quite figured why I haven't grabbed onto that phrase. And I think it probably comes from living in Chicago, and the stuff is in front of me every day, and so to turn aside is kind of the image of I'm going to ignore what's in front of me. And that's just my own context, you know.
See, I think.
And I know what you mean by that.
Yeah, my thing is that it is right in front of us, and we keep looking, we've still always got our blinders on. We don't turn aside to see what's not right in front of us. So if it isn't an issue that immediately impacts me, I'm not going to turn aside and notice my neighbor.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean,
that's where I'm coming from.
The other biblical thing to me that I hear is turn the other cheek, which is
right.
I think we mean the same thing, but the phrase hits us differently. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, to me, the turning aside is what happens when we listen to the stories that we heard in the room tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's turning aside from the
right.
Normal.
I understand that.
Yeah. Oh, I like that image.
Yeah, so it's going to hit people differently.
Mm-hmm.
I
turn toward.
Right, that's my.
What here?
Just semantics. Redundant.
Go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, to me, I don't think it's looking at what's in front of you. It's looking through and not seeing what's in front of you. I mean, just walking toward whatever's on your agenda for 9 o'clock and not seeing what's in between you, and maybe it's a time thing.
Actually, that's the thought that occurred to me when I read the third verse. Scott took it from "You Need to Play It Safe All the Time." Liberated from that, I was thinking it was being liberated from the need to run straight through everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, be liberated from time, the prison of time, in terms of let go and be here, see it, what is here.
And that's a big issue for so many people these days with the speed of pagers and email and. A lot of people. It keeps them.
So we're liberating from the need to get to do whatever it is you think you have to do, right?
It certainly kept me from taking some social issues more seriously because I was too busy.
Too busy from your busyness. Be liberated from your busyness.
Right.
Or from
I have my own plate full. I can't imagine tackling that issue. That kind of sense that I can't afford the time.
Slow down.
Wasn't that Samaritan sermon we heard about taking the time to notice the Samaritan walking through, walking past?
Mm-hmm. I don't have time to look at that
from
on this path.
The need to be too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
We could write lots of verses about time. And all of it.
Then we wouldn't need
to. Actually, there's a way to do that. I mean, you could repeat that line 3 times and it would work musically.
So the other thing we mentioned is that, while I think nobody was opposed to repeating the Vespers that have to do with the whole wall and everything more than once a month, I think the need to have other social justice issues also brought in so that you're initially thinking of one social justice Vespers a week, but you're going to now do more than that?
No, I think what I was trying to say is I don't want this to be an issue. That's one of many issues. It's more of inclusion is kind of the environment that we're trying to create in everything we do. And so it's not an issue. We are people. When we're trying to create an environment where all people and all creation, all time is sacred and honored and respected and included. And in the midst of that, we're looking at different particular things. Mm-hmm. And maybe inclusion in the church is one issue, but inclusion as a whole is not an issue. It's a reality. Mm-hmm.
Is there, instead of the global kind of night with time?
A time night?
How do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, it's take off your shoes. You're walking on holy ground. It's take time. I don't know. Maybe that isn't.
I'm just
narrow.
Thinking again back to where Dorothy was coming from when she kind of incepted this. Is that a word? Anyway, sacred time, holy ground. Sacred time, holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
That was the birth concept.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe there's a sacred, it's a sacred time.
Sacred time vespers?
I think we have such a hard time recognizing that we live in a sacred time now, here and now.
Right.
I think living in the here and now is what we don't know how to do.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
we have weekly vespers on
time.
Instead of the globalized, whatever.
It could, well, just the idea of time, that opportunities present themselves,
yeah.
And either you act on them, or you don't, you shy away, or you don't act on them.
Time's a cultural concept.
Yeah.
Well, it could be an interesting way. I mean, if it does end up being Monday, it could be an interesting way to start the week with.
Right.
You know, you've got a week to be here,
yes.
And
mm-hmm.
It's what you make it.
Exactly. And that it could be different culturally.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's understanding or experience of living in a different culture,
which brings in the global.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1 week we could start.
Fifteen minutes late.
It'd
yes.
go about an hour long.
Yeah.
That would be.
We had a retreat where the very first thing they did was took our watches. You know.
Mm.
Yeah.
We were unaware of time.
Take off your watch.
Oh,
take off your
watch. Watches at the door some night.
Oh.
There's
some people that be a little
you
nervous.
You have to make sure they're named and labeled.
Yeah. Put your watch in your pocket.
Yeah, somebody comes along and rolls up their sleeve, all the watches.
Rolling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are going to start showing up with pagers and stuff. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
pretty soon we got it.
Interesting concept.
And that's
do
part
vespers
of
the vespers on time.
Sacred time.
I think that's a lot of taking off the shoes. I mean, it's like check
mm-hmm.
it at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of say that with cell phones now, that you take
yeah.
off your cell phone
leave
before you come
like
to the village. I mean, this is kind of an extension.
But and again, there's just so many aspects of time. I remember when my 21-year-old sister died, that gave me a whole nother perspective on time,
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
life is limited, that sometimes it's real short, and that has affected how I've made choices, too. So I think you could get into some very interesting
yeah.
vespers
even
on time.
A vespers right around using that.
Well, it certainly would be building on one of the other themes we've been playing with this winter, which is the whole sacred time cycle on Wednesdays.
Right.
And,
yeah.
I mean, the summer solstice is going to be right there to work
mm-hmm.
with.
And that's a connection back into creation, because time is based on creation.
And Jubilee.
And
rhythm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Maybe the time is
Jubilee.
Different work.
I think you can get people interested in doing that, because just the different ideas
mm-hmm. we've come
time
up with.
Well, I was thinking here. About living in San Antonio and how the Hispanic people thought of the Anglos as angry because they would get agitated when the, you know, the majority culture went so slow and they couldn't get what they wanted out of it, and we were perceived as agitated.
Mm-hmm. Pushy, huh?
Yeah, unhappy because we couldn't.
Have it now.
Hmm. Even the German student that was here, she even explained it. The difference between West and East Germany when they reunited, and the difference in time, and a whole different feeling from we've been separated, and we're kind of working on different schedules.
I like it.
And it caused conflict.
Well, and just the ELCA right now, the whole GOET stuff has to deal with the time.
Right, so that's your reason.
Some say, wait, mm-hmm. Some say, no.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Some saying never.
So it's another way to bring in the issue.
That was one of my earlier phrases with this was, be liberated from the need to control the pace of change. I mean, it doesn't work in a song very well.
It's a bubble.
But, yeah, you know, that same idea.
Well,
in terms of process,
speaking of time.
I'm kind of in a quicker timeline than everybody else because this is supposed to be recorded by the end of the month of April for the inclusion in the video.
Yeah.
And there's spring break in the middle of the month, and so I feel a need to actually finish this more or less by the start of break and then record it when I come back. Mm-hmm. I might tweak it, but.
Emily will have feedback from Dorothy. She can send it to me.
Yeah, Dorothy will have to send you feedback.
But what I'm wondering is, you know, I kind of would like broader input, and I think maybe some of us would too, that I wonder if community meeting would be an appropriate place to just toss it out and.
I think it'd be
sure.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even this week.
Yeah.
Because next week's too late. So.
This week's community conversation.
So. Is it?
Yeah.
Can I do an agenda?
No, this is your conversation.
Let's do it. It's your conversation.
This is, I like it. I wouldn't change anything on it.
Well, you have to pick. He's giving you some choices.
They don't all work musically yet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, whatever.
I mean, you're very close.
Yeah. Yeah, you're good. Scott, you'll do it.
It's, you see, I wrote some of this 20 minutes before we came here. So.
Well, that's good.
Well,
I'm not
even thinking about it. That's the best time.
That's part of it.
That's good.
Okay, I'll roll it out Thursday.
I'm going to talk to Dorothy this weekend, and tell her it's coming or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That we'd want her feedback pretty quickly. And you leave on the,
8th? I mean, I can take feedback after. I can tweak stuff when I come back, but I'm not going to be doing major changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good. The concepts need to be here this week.
I think Dorothy's going to like it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She'll have a few suggestions of words, because she's a good word person, but she's going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy, you're going to like it.
And even if it went into the video just so, and it evolved a little bit in the community.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which it will, anyways.
It did last year a little bit, it seems to me. It wasn't.
It actually didn't change.
Oh, no, it didn't change after that. Anyway.
Just reformatted it.
And then we got to practice.
Oh yeah, well, we had a pretty good practice choir.
I know, a good choir.
The fun thing is, you can do percussion.
I don't know.